God. Has anybody been saved? We wonder that the power of God we serve, the mercy and the grace that abides. Beloved, won't you recite our Psalm with me or after me, please? We are the church.
We are the church.
With the open doors.
With the open doors.
Where hearts are healed.
Where hearts are healed.
Souls are saved.
Souls are saved.
And God is praised.
And God is praised.
That's good news right there.
Amen.
Won't you pray with me, saints? Dear Lord, we come before you right now as humbly as we know how, asking in the sweet and precious name of Jesus that you would occupy this space. But Father, there is a spirit here, and it is a spirit that counters your own. But we know that you are sovereign Lord, and we rebuke that presence in Jesus' name. By the blood of Jesus, we stand ready to give you praise. But we need you to move in this place. Touch your people from heart to heart, mind to mind, soul to soul. Remind us in this moment of who you are and what you have done, that we might know who we are and what we are called to do. Prepare us now, Father, for the preaching moment, that what is said here today might resonate into the deepest places of our being. That as it does, Father, it might then become a part of us, that we might share it out into a needy world, that somebody's soul might be saved. Now, dear gracious God, I ask that you would just minimize, shrink down your servant in this place. And as I decrease, Father, let your spirit increase, that your people would not hear my words, but words from on high. This, Father, is our prayer. In Jesus' perfect and precious name, and we count it all done, because you are our God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, beloved, today we are tasked with returning to the second letter from the Apostle Peter in chapter 1. Verses 3 through 11, and it has already been ably read by Deacon Fred in your hearing. But if you don't mind rolling with me for just a few more moments, church, I would like to talk with you from the subject belief and behavior. And you know what? Let's add that second piece in there too: living your faith, belief and behavior, living your faith. Can you say that with me? Belief and behavior, living your faith. In church, in verse 3 of our text today, Peter says this, and this is the New Living Translation now. He says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Beloved, from the very beginning today, Peter wants someone to know that your God has already given what is needed. More specifically, he wants someone to know, somebody to know, that God has given us everything we require to live a godly life. A life that God expects us to live. And beloved, I don't know about for you, but when I think about when I first believed and how hard the journey has been to grow up in the faith, I recall so very clearly how important it was to know that God has and will give us everything we need to lead a godly life.
Yes,
I needed to know that he could help me and would help me, church, because I could not do it on my own.
Yes, sir.
I knew early on that living my faith was too hard without God. I was going to need some divine intervention, church.
Yeah.
I don't know, saints, maybe you were one of those people who got that special anointing. I don't know. That special anointing when you were but a wee babe. And all of your life, it has been real easy to live up to God's standards, living your faith. That may be you, I don't know, church. But beloved, for me and those like me, it has been and ever remains a war inside.
Yes, sir.
A war inside when it comes to living a godly life.
Right, make it plain, yeah.
This journey of faith has not been easy for people like me. I can remember what it was like, have mercy. I can remember what it was like when I was in kindergarten. And I formed a gang, y'all hear me now, and had my first rumble with the patrol boys. My father gave me a beating that helped me to change my mind real quick, amen? He gave me the kind of motivation that made me dissolve my game and focus on my studies real quick.
Amen.
However, the fact still remains that I was about 5 or 6 years old when I listened to my carnal side and formed a gang in kindergarten. I was a pint-sized Al Capone in the making. Thank God for parents, and thank God for God. Because there were many more instances in my life, just like that first one, church, when I chose to do what wasn't right and God had to act through the Spirit and people to get me on the right path, I appreciate the knowledge, y'all hear me now, that God is available and that this available God has everything I need for living a godly life.
Yes, sir.
Church, I don't know about for you, but I wasn't always good. I wasn't always as good as I am now when it comes to making right choices.
Right.
And the truth be told, I still got a long way to go. But through it all, church, it has been the sure and certain knowledge that my available God had everything I needed to do better in this life that kept me going. I needed divine intervention.
Yes,
you all hear me, church?
Yes, sir.
Somebody in the house of praise and worship this morning might be high in a past that is riddled with alcohol and drug abuse, and God was always there,
yes, sir,
waiting to give you what you needed to come back home, clothed and in your right mind. And I know you know what I'm talking about right now. Somebody in the house of praise and worship has maybe done time. You fumbled and you fought it so hard that it landed you in the land of the incarcerated in a 6x6 cell. But now you are out and God has restored your life.
Yes, sir.
Fixed up your head and your heart so you can now think right and feel right. You all here in the church.
Yes, sir.
Yes, because God is an available God,
yes,
who has everything we need. You can now think right and you can now feel right. Your family is safe and your job is secure. You are fully restored. Is there anybody in here who has been restored by God?
Yes.
Yes. It's good to know that my God is an available God who has everything I need, everything we need to live a godly life. Church, If you are going to be a soldier in this particular Christian army, you need to know, you need to believe that God has given us, and God still is giving us, everything we need to live a godly life, a better life, a righteous life, because we can't do this by ourselves.
Yes,
the Bible says that God, Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in your weakness. Church, you all heard that, right? God's grace, what he gives to us, is sufficient. The Greek is imparti. It means adequate and enough. In context, it means that God's grace, his gift unto us, is enough to present us from falling or losing in any and every situation. God is sufficient.
All right.
It is enough to live a godly life. Church, I don't know about for you, but it means the world to me to know that my God is an available God who has given and continues to give us everything we need to live a godly life. We cannot do this on our own.
Yes, sir.
Now, church, somebody has to be asking, well, yes, we got you, preacher. God gives us what we need to live a godly life. He empowers us for righteousness in Christ Jesus. But what specifically does that godly life look like? Can you name for me the things that define or mark a godly life so when I see it, I will know it, preacher?
All right.
Well, thank God. Thank God for us. The Apostle Peter anticipates our questions and says, this is in verses 5 through 7, and this is the New Living Translation again, church. It says this now. I want you to listen to me now. Let me take my time. Starting in verse 5, it says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Beloved, the Apostle Peter is talking about behavior that reflects belief. The Apostle Peter is talking about living your faith, developing moral excellence. Developing moral excellence, church, is a combination of knowledge with self-control, patient endurance, brotherly affection, and ultimately love for everyone.
Yeah.
Peter is saying that for each and every one of God's children, what we believe has to be reflected in how we behave if we are to live a godly life.
Yeah.
And the way that life is known is when it is characterized by things like self-control and patient endurance. Yes, when our beliefs influence our behavior, our lives become characterized by brotherly affection and love for one another. We want to help refugees. Y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
We want to help refugees because we love people and protect the weak, not because we like breaking the law and want to harm a fugitive. We just love people.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody heard me. Peter is describing a change in our attitudes. Peter is describing a change in our attitudes that really measures our aptitude.
All right.
A change in our attitude that measures our aptitude for living a godly life. You all remember when I talked about that way back when in church. An attitude that increases your aptitude. An attitude or mindset that increases your ability or suitability for living a godly life.
All right.
A life where your biblical values, not your natural pride, has the final say in your actions. Somebody heard me right there. With things like patience, self-control, and love define our behavior in this life, we know that we are living a godly life. We are living our faith. Beloved, can you say that you are living your or living a godly life if you are always snapping at folks and mad? Can you really say that you are living a godly life if you are always flying off the handle and being mean to folks at your job, in your house, and yes, in your church? Can you say that you are living a godly life when you are a president who does not have brotherly affection and love for everyone, like Peter said in our text? The Bible says it like this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, church. And this is a New Living Translation again. It says, if someone says, I love God,
my Lord,
but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we do not love people we can see, how, and let me add this, in the world, can we love God whom we cannot see?
Yes, sir.
Beloved, it is not possible to be a hater of man and a lover of God. God is love, and those that love know God. And those that don't know love, they don't know God. Ours, y'all hear me now. This faith, our faith, is a practitioner's faith.
Yeah.
We are not like those who say they believe something on Sunday and then act in ways Monday through Saturday that contradict the very things we say we believe. We are not spiritually schizophrenic. We are not Trumpian acolytes. Y'all, give me all this one. We are not Trumpian acolytes. We are disciples of Christ, and our beliefs inform our actions. We don't speak about fair play and then turn around and cheat on elections. Our beliefs inform our behavior. In John chapter 13, verse 35, the Lord Jesus said that everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Yeah.
It is our values that define us, beloved. Our moral excellence. James, the brother of Christ, once said, I will show you my faith by what I do. He said, I will let you see what I believe and the way I behave. You won't have to guess about who I am because you will see it in my actions.
Yes, sir.
This is why he also said that faith without works, is quite dead. If you claim to believe in the risen Lord Jesus, but you don't ever act like it in how you treat people, then you are a liar whose faith is truly dead.
Yes, sir.
Your faith isn't real. Last week we talked about alternative facts and fairy tales. Yes, sir. Belief that does not affect behavior isn't real, it is a fairy tale.
Right.
Beloved, how can we call ourselves living sacrifices with dead faith?
Wow.
Our faith must produce and inspire loving relationships around us in the church and the world. Yes. Look at this now, church. In verses 8 through 11, the Apostle Peter says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be. Skip down and says, dear brothers and sisters, work hard. Underline that. Dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I like this one, church. Peter says that the more you allow your beliefs to influence your behavior, the more productive and useful you will be or become. Somebody once said that practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
The more you do something, the better you become at doing it.
Yes, sir.
Beloved, work hard. Y'all hear me, right? Work hard daily and allow your beliefs to influence your behavior. Church, if you repeat something over and over again, you eventually learn it by heart. It becomes a part of your mindset.
Yes.
You all following the church?
Yes, sir.
Practice makes perfect.
Yes, sir.
Get out there in the world, church, and practice being patient with one another.
My Lord.
Practice being compassionate and tolerant of others.
Mm.
Practice being quick to forgive and slow to anger, and watch how it starts to change your behavior permanently.
Yeah.
Oh.
Preach, Pastor.
Practice makes perfect or brings permanent change.
Yes,
to our attitude and our aptitude. There is permanence in practice. Y'all heard that, right? There is permanence in our practice that allows us to live godly lives. So work hard, beloved, so we can be useful in the kingdom. Work hard, beloved, so Jesus can use us to heal hearts and to save souls and to gain God the praise. Work hard, First Baptist. Work hard. If you are like me, I want you to work hard. But if you are like me, church, I want to tell you, have conversations with yourself.
All right.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Have conversations with yourself when you are in situations where Jesus is expecting you to behave like him and it's not all that natural for you.
Not at all.
Somebody here knows what I'm talking about. You know my struggle because my struggle is your struggle. Amen?
Come on, preach.
I'm talking to the Peters in here who naturally like to fight.
All right.
The ones who might knock that ear off when they come for your Jesus. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The Peters who like to fight. In certain situations, literally stop yourself and ask yourself, what would Jesus do right here? Take a deep breath and ask what Jesus would do. Ask yourself, WWJD, what would Jesus do right here? Would his biblical values or the situation dictate his response? Would he respond in his feelings? Or would he respond in his faith? Would his behavior reflect his beliefs? And y'all know that, of course, the answer is yes. We have to work hard to be like Jesus, church, if we want to be useful to the kingdom. We have to work hard in letting our beliefs influence our behavior so people will recognize that we are indeed the chosen ones of God. They will be able to recognize us without us even saying anything to them, because they'll see who we are in what we do. People will know us by the love we share.
Yeah.
So work hard, church, and showing love in this crazy world. I know it won't be easy, but work hard and showing love in this crazy world so they will know who we are and whose we are, even before we say a word. When others choose to be mean and nasty to others, you choose to be kind. Y'all heard me, right?
Yeah.
Especially my young people, if you see somebody else being a bully, you choose to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah.
When somebody chooses to be nasty and mean, you choose to be kind. Be a lover of the lost and a defender of the weak. When bullies, even when they hold the title President of the United States of America, When they step out and begin bullying, you step up and start defending. And church, the good news is that when we become these kinds of Christians, y'all hear me? The good news is that when we become these kinds of Christians whose beliefs influence our behavior, Peter says that God has a special place for us. Y'all heard that, right? The Apostle Peter said that there is an eternal place, and God will grant it unto us with a grand entrance. Amen. The good news is, when we can say I work hard and showing you my faith by what I do, not just by what I say, there is a reward in heaven waiting just for us, church. Beloved, the assumption today is that when you act a certain way, over time, it changes something inside of you permanently.
Yeah.
There is permanence in our practice. You all catch this one, church. The assumption in the Word of God today, this morning, is that we cannot just continue to act like loving followers of Jesus and it not have a real effect on our hearts. There is a home in heaven for the heroes of our faith who step out front and show forth their faith by what they do in the world. Beloved, Jesus is still calling for some do something people. Y'all remember that, right? Jesus is still calling for some do something people to serve a do something God who is not only available but willing to bless his people. Beloved, Jesus is still calling a do something church filled with some do something disciples who intend to be known by our love and compassion, our generosity, and our care. The Father wants to know this morning if we intend on being a hard-working church that believes in living godly lives defined by self-control, patient endurance. Are we working hard to live a godly life that is defined by the love we share and the love we have for God's people in this world? Are we determined to work hard to allow what we say we believe to manifest in our behavior? Are we determined to work hard and to live our faith that somebody, or someday we might receive our reward and somebody's soul might be saved?
Yeah.
Well, if you are ready to work hard, beloved, I want you to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm ready to work hard.
I'm ready to work hard.
Tell them, say, neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm letting my beliefs
influence my behavior.
Tell somebody, say, I'm ready.
To ask, what would Jesus do?
Oh, say it like you mean to say. Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
To ask. What would Jesus do? Yes, my gracious God. I think somebody is ready to be used by you. I think somebody is ready to be productive in your kingdom for you. I think somebody is ready to be productive to the benefit of somebody else for you, Father. I think somebody is ready to hold on to the cross. I think somebody is ready to believe in the blood. I think somebody is ready to tell somebody about this somebody who can save anybody. I think somebody is ready to work hard for the kingdom. I think somebody is ready to sweat for the kingdom. I think somebody is ready to get up and move for the kingdom. Ours is a practitioner's faith. Practice makes perfect. We are ready to work, my Father. We are ready to get on our hands and knees and pray, my Father. We are ready Beloved, as we are standing, this is your moment now. It's your time. Free from any sense of embarrassment or any sense of fear or trepidation. God has created space for you. Jesus has created space for you. We got a major work ahead of us. There are lost souls all around us. There is hurt. There is turmoil. There is bullying. There is war all around us. Where the world is in need of peacemakers. The world is in need of God's children. Will you come? Won't you come? In the name of Jesus, will you come?
In the room.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Yes, indeed. Listen to the song, God.
In the room.
Will you let God lead you?
Thank you.
ourselves.
Yes.
We thank you, we praise you, we lift up your name because you are a way maker, God.
Yes.
You have seen the things that have been going on in our lives. And one by one, Father, you have stepped in the gap for us. One by one,
yes,
you have made a way out of no way for us.
Yes.
But Father, there are some among us today who are still waiting on a blessing. There are some among us, Father, who have been calling on your name, waiting for a breakthrough. And Father, I declare today in Jesus' name that you send that breakthrough right now. Father, in this moment, I ask you to bless all of those under the sound of my voice. Father, touch them right where they are. Bless them with the measure of your Holy Ghost. Give them a taste of your healing Holy Spirit, your empowering presence in this place.
In the name of Jesus.
That, Father, they might be overcomers, that they might be victorious people, that they might be soldiers on the battlefield for you, that they might be your children who are not ashamed to lift up Jesus' name. Father, bless, heal, and help right here and right now. There's somebody who needs help regulating their minds. There is somebody who needs help in their bodies. There is somebody whose soul is sullen, whose heart is broken. Father, mend and help and heal as only you can. Stretch out your hand, Father, from your high place. And bless them from the crown of their heads to the very soles of their feet. That in Jesus' name, this will be the day of their testimony. This will be the day that they are able to say, I called out on Jesus and he rushed in on my life. I called out on Jesus and he heard my faithless cry and he answered by and by. Help them right now, Father. Give them a testimony. Show them right now what kind of God you are. You are a way maker, God. You are the only one who's able to present us before your own presence with exceeding joy. You are the only wise God, our Savior. So do what you do, Father, and bless your children that they might see your praise and that others might be saved. Father, this we do now pray in remembrance of our ancestors who prayed before us and then to match this thing of our meek yet mighty Messiah, Jesus, the perfect and precious Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.